Opening up to Jonah. Jonah 4, we are finishing up Jonah. We will be here for about an hour and a half, so I hope you have your lunch ready. Because that's what's getting done, not really. I got two questions. Because Jonah, you guys ever watch like the VeggieTales Jonah or the kids Jonah? You know, it just has that weird, abrupt ending, but that's really intentional. That's really intentional. You know, at the beginning of Jonah, we opened up the first chapter of Jonah and we saw the comparing contrast, the examples of mercy. You know, God laid out the lack of mercy on Jonah's part. And then in contrast to the mercy of God himself, he was putting his loving kindness on full display in almost a comical way that it followed throughout the whole book of just this great, high mercy of God and very low mercy of Jonah. And then in chapter 2, which is Jonah's prayer from the belly of a fish, and in Jonah 2, we saw God magnifying his mercy. We saw the ways that God put his mercy on full display where it could be seen very clearly by the person of Jonah. Then in chapter 3, we saw some of God's steps to mercy. We saw one of the greatest revivals probably of all time, one of the quickest responding complete cities turning around, people repenting of their sins and coming to the Lord and just turning all of this around. And so you think, after all of this, you know, after God's examples of mercy, after God's magnifying his mercy, after God showing his steps of mercy, you'd think Jonah has it all together. You would think that he's seen it enough where it's like, oh yeah, I got it now. This makes complete sense. And then you get to Jonah 4. And you're like, are you serious, Jonah? Are you serious, Jonah? Is this really the outcome of God's mercy in your life? But then far too often, it's not just Jonah sitting under that tree. It's ourselves. A couple times in this passage, we see Jesus asking Jonah a question. Do you do well to be angry? And both times, God wants Jonah to reflect on his actions and his desires and take a deeper look at his own heart to stop and see how is the mercy really playing out in my life. Is it producing a character that is caring for others, an interest of God in other people, or is it producing a self-interest? So today we have two questions that we're going to be asking. Two questions. And the first one is, do you know God's truth, but then think people don't deserve it? Do you know God's truth and then think people don't deserve it? Look at verse 1 starting in chapter 4 of Jonah. He says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? You see, the more that we know about God's mercy, the more that God puts it on display for us, the more that we see it and read it in Scripture, the more that it's put on display in other Christians before us, it should produce a loving kindness in us. It should have this outcome where we are caring for other people, where we understand God's truth, and then we understand it's for other people as well. But so often, we become just like Jonah, where we know God's truth, but then we start to question whether other people really deserve it. Jonah knows God's truth, but when it's played out in certain people, Jonah just gets mad. Now, as we've talked about before, you know, Nineveh was a wicked city. It was an evil city. A city that really did deserve to be destroyed. But not only was it an evil city, but it was a city that was in opposition to the Jews. It was in opposition to Jonah. It was a city that would be continually fighting against Jonah and his people. And so Jonah rightly had a disdain for Nineveh. But as we know in the Old Testament, you know, when God gave himself to the people of Israel, it wasn't just like a, hey, you guys are great people and you deserve my presence and I'm going to give it to you to just be with you. No. When God gave himself to the people of Israel, he chose the people not because of their own doing, but because of his great love and mercy. And he didn't do it just so that these people would have a special relationship with him and nobody else. He did it so that the whole world could see what it looks like to live in the presence of God. And Israel wasn't doing a great job of that. And Jonah wasn't doing a great job of that. And Jonah here is being asked a question that I think that we all should be answering for ourselves. Do you do well, Jonah? Look at a couple things. He says in the verse 1, he says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What did? Well, the fact that Nineveh repented. The fact that God relented from his destruction on the city of Nineveh when Jonah went in and proclaimed this message of destruction, saying, yet 40 days and this city will be destroyed. They immediately responded in repentance. They responded and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. Anybody sit in sackcloth and ashes this week? We talked about that last week. You didn't do it, Reagan? Oh, come on. I wanted somebody to do it so they could tell me how it was. But we talked about that last week, the sitting in sackcloth and ashes and the repenting and the coming before the throne and turning from our past sins and walking in a different direction. And Nineveh did that, and it displeased Jonah greatly. Jonah wasn't excited about the fact that Nineveh was saved. You know, Jonah had a great understanding of God's truth. He goes in and he gives probably one of the clearest descriptions of God in the Old Testament. He says in verse 2, he says, and O Lord, is it not this what I had said when I was in my own country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew, God, I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Jonah knew the truth of God with abundance. Jonah, you know, we looked over at in chapter 1 where Jonah also makes a creedal statement, a truth statement about God that's just on the money. It's like, Jonah, you knew God. In fact, not only do you know God, you don't just know about God, but and how you respond, you know personally the very work of God in your life. He was a prophet who talked to God and proclaimed God's message to God's people. And when he was saying these truths, it wasn't just something that he was reciting. He was telling something that he knew. That's why he's like, I fled God because of this. He knew these things to be extremely true. And he got upset over it. He got upset over it to the point where he wanted to die. He looked at God and said, over my dead body, Lord, is basically what he was saying. You see, he didn't allow the truth of God to stir in him and create a longing to love and show mercy to other people. Instead, he took God's mercy and he used it for himself. He took the truth that he knew about God and started to think it only belonged to him and the Israelites. To the point where God, acting the very way that God does, displeased him to the point of death. And when God asked this question of Jonah, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? It wasn't just a question about Jonah's anger. He was asking Jonah to take a moment and think about his response. Jonah, is this really right? Do you fully understand what you are doing when you respond this way? Jonah, you know the truth of God, but then you don't think other people deserve that truth. Do you do well, Jonah, to believe that? And you see, a lot of times we're just like Jonah. A lot of times we know the truth and we want to get to that place where we're working hard through the work that God is doing in our life and the mercy that God is showing us to the place where it moves in us to proclaim Jesus to other people, to disciple other people, to jump on board and take the work that God has given us to the city. But to do that, there has to be us actively applying the mercy of God where it produces an outcome that glorifies God. But a lot of times we just go in and day out and day in and day out, and we don't take time to stop and really think how it's being applied in our own life. And when God asks this to Jonah, that's what he's doing. Jonah, pause. Just take a moment. You know God's truth, but you're not applying it to other people. And we do that same thing. You know, if we're being honest, we do understand that nobody deserves God's mercy. And when we look at people and we say, well, they don't deserve God's mercy, that's true because none of us do. We understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we don't deserve to be in the presence of God. And it's only by the work and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross that we have any opportunity to come before the throne of our King. And so when we say, yeah, we don't believe that people deserve it, that's true, they don't, because none of us do. It's only by the work of Jesus. But that being said, we understand the truth of God. We understand his mercy. We understand the fact that we sinned against God greatly, and instead of smiting us and blowing us up, he sent his son to die for us and take our place. We understand God's loving kindness because he's told us and because we know it. And just like Jonah throughout the whole book of Jonah, seeing God's mercy displayed time and time again, we see God's mercy displayed time and time again through things like our jobs, our families, our friends, our life groups, through the hope that we have in the coming of our Lord and Savior. We see God's mercy displayed often to the point where we know that it's true. Yeah, I've tested that. I've tasted and seen that that is good. But then there are these times. Then there's these times where we know this, but then we start to think certain people don't deserve it. And I'll tell you what, you want to cut off God's mercy in your life, God's work of that in your life, start to think that people don't deserve God's mercy. You know, people who start to make Christians to be extremists. Well, they're just haters that are going to destroy our world because of what they believe. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to believe that they deserve God's mercy. But they do. Sometimes it's people at your job who make your life miserable because you're a believer. That person in the cubicle across from you, that friend at school, that not friend at school, who makes fun of you, that neighbor who won't let you even get a word out without mocking you. These people continue to ridicule us for our faith, and we start to think, you know what, maybe that person doesn't deserve God's mercy. Sometimes it's the people that hurt you the most. Sometimes our spouse or a close family member or a friend, somebody who's hurt you deeply. Man, they don't deserve God's mercy. Did you see what they did to me? And then God knocks on our door and says, Jesse, do you really do well to be angry? Do you really do well to be angry? You need to take a moment, and you've experienced my truth. You have seen my mercy. I have put it on full display for you. There's not a person in your life that doesn't deserve that, not because of the works that they've done, but because of the work that I have done. And Jesse, you know this. You know this to be true. And church, if we're going to be people who proclaim Jesus, we need to be people who show God's mercy to everyone. And one of the fastest ways to stop and just take a moment to think, Lord, am I really allowing your mercy to grow me? Is there an outcome of your mercy that is putting you on full display? Just take a moment and think, God, is there any people who I don't think deserve your mercy? And if there are, that's a red flag. And that doesn't mean, you know, that's a hard place to get to. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. You know, there's a lot of earthly consequences that still have to take place in a lot of people's lives. But that doesn't mean you don't forgive them. That doesn't mean you don't show people God's mercy. We have to work through this. If we're going to fully display the mercies of God, we have to be able to display the mercies to other people. And this is what Jonah was unable to do. He was greatly displeased. God, I knew you were a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. And when we understand that, it should be like, yeah, God, I want you to have that for everyone. So that's the first question. Do you know God's truth, but then think people don't deserve it? And if that's the case, man, maybe you're Jonah. And you need to take a little bit of time. But the second question, is God's mercy more about your own self-interest or the interest of God? Is God's mercy more about your own self-interest or the interest of God? After their first interaction, God wants to drill down a little bit more. Jonah's been put on display, and he's showing that God's mercy isn't producing the things that it needs to produce. And so he's drilling down a little bit farther. He wants Jonah to look a little bit deeper, and so he brings a plant. Look at verse 5. It says, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under the shade until he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plants. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked, not just ate, not just attacked. I love that. Attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And when he asked that he might die, he said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for a plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? And so he continues in this same kind of theme that we've seen throughout all of Jonah. Chapter 4 is very similar to chapter 1. Jonah not responding to God's call and God's mercy. And so God uses every nature that he can, every force of nature, to use Jonah as an example. He sees Jonah, and Jonah leaves the city, and he goes and he sits up on a hill, and he starts to mope. He wants to see what God's going to do. But while he's sitting there, he builds a little lean-to because he wants a little bit of shade. But that shade's not enough. It's still pretty uncomfortable. So God sends a plant. And that's like comic book value right there. God sends a plant. The plant grows up overnight, and it shades Jonah's head. And Jonah is exceedingly grateful. There's one summer I was in college, and I was pouring concrete. If you ever want a good college job, kids, concrete is a great job because I got really in shape, and it was that next fall that I met Ashley, and she fell in love with me. It was because I was in really good shape. Just know that, okay? But it was a hard job, and a lot of times I would be pouring concrete, and it was in new developments where there weren't any trees yet. So we'd be doing basements and sidewalks and driveways, and there were no trees yet because it was all new, and so it was hot all the time. But every now and then, we would go pour in an older development or in the woods because we did live in the middle of nowhere, and there was trees, and it was awesome. And I remember being exceedingly grateful for the shade because it was hot. And there was Jonah. He was exceedingly grateful because he had a little bit of shade while he's moping about waiting for the destruction of Nineveh. But it doesn't come. But instead, after God appoints a plant, that next night, God appoints a worm. And that worm attacks the plant. I can just imagine, that word literally is attack. Like, it's not like nibbles. It literally is like attack. Can you imagine this worm taking out this plant? I don't know what it did, but they used the word attack. And it attacks this plant. God sends that and it withers. And after that withers, then God appoints an east wind to the point just to annoy Jonah, just to make Jonah get down to his lowest of lows, to the point where Jonah asks again, God, just kill me. And you get to this point, and you see this conversation that Jonah has with God, and you're like, man, that's the same conversation I have with my 3-year-old. Like, Jonah, this is pathetic, man. Like, you are groveling and whining, and this is like, and to be honest, that's right where the author wants us. He wants us to look at Jonah and be like, Jonah, are you serious? You're throwing a temper tantrum because of a bug in a plant. Jonah, you want to die. And you're arguing with God. But the author does that because he wants us to feel that way towards Jonah right up until we understand that we're also a lot like Jonah. And that there are times that we need to look in our own life and be like, man, that's pathetic. That God has put his mercy on full display in my life, and it is not producing me displaying mercy to others. Instead, it's just about self-interest. And Jesse, that's pretty pathetic. Do you do well to be angry about a plant, Jonah? See, God lays it out for him, and he says, you, in verse 10, he says, and the Lord said, and you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. Jonah, you did absolutely nothing for that plant. You didn't cultivate it. You didn't try to grow it. You didn't water it. You didn't sing to it. You didn't take it in at night. You didn't put it out. You did nothing, Jonah. The only reason that you're upset over this dumb plant is because you are suffering discomfort. Your only value in that plant is your own self-interest, Jonah. But Jonah, look at this city over here. Jonah, this city of Nineveh, should I not pity it? Because there are more than 120,000 people, Jonah. People that I made and love, that they don't even know their right from their left. Yes, Jonah, they've screwed up, but they don't know that. And there's a lot of cattle, Jonah. I don't know why I threw that in there. Maybe because people like steak. I don't know. But there's a lot of cattle there as well. And you see what God is doing is he's saying, Jonah, I have every right to pity these people. I have every right to put my mercy on display because I created them. I love them. They are a great city. And just like we talked about earlier in chapter 3, when he says great city, that meant great to me. God was giving the city of Nineveh value because he valued it. Just like we get our value because God values us. He's saying, Jonah, I have every right. to show my mercy. But when I showed my mercy to you, it was only for your own self-interest. And I think a lot of times we fall right in line with Jonah. We fall right in line with Jonah. And when we start to look at our relationship with God and the reason that we're followers of Jesus, it's a lot more about our own personal self-interest than the interest of others. You see, from the very beginning of time, God created us so that we can display God's glory back to him, but also to a watching world. And the mission of every believer in the church is to proclaim Jesus, to make disciples. God calls us and saves us so that then we can put him on display for other people. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes more about our own selfish desires, we lose out. And we miss out. And we end up like Jonah. And you see, there are a lot of times where we get frustrated with church. We get frustrated with people. We get frustrated with continuing to make disciples, because it is hard. And if you are, and if I am in it for our own self-interest, that's when we just throw in the flag and say, I'm going to go live in my basement and read a bunch of commentaries and never come out again. No. No, if we're going to continue to display God's mercy, it's going to be because it is not just a self-interest. We have a full understanding, and there are times, just like Jonah, we have to take a break and sit back and be like, God, check my soul. Jesse, do you do well to be angry at the things you're angry at? The other Christians or the church members or the people around you, do you do well? Well, actually, no, not really. Do you do well with where you're at in your own walk with Jesus? Is it more about the things that you want to get, or is it about proclaiming and showing mercy to a watching world? We need to check our hearts just like Jonah. Am I more upset over my lost comforts than lost souls? Am I like Jonah? Could the outcome of God in me really be this ugly? And the book of Jonah ends abruptly. There's not a lot of application to the book of Jonah. Very little, actually. There's not a lot of commands. There's not a lot of go do this, go do that. But what it does do is it brings out a story that a lot of us can relate to. And I think he leaves it abruptly because he doesn't want to just sit here and make all of these applications, but he wants people to sit down and think hard about their own life. God wants us to see his mercy. God wants us to see the patheticness of Jonah, but then God also wants us to understand that we are far more like Jonah far too often. And that we need to take time, just like in this book, and say, do I do well to be this way? Do I do well to be angry? And we got to ask some hard questions. And I think God was getting at some of the issues in Jonah's life. He didn't want to display God's mercy to people. People deserved it, and so he didn't. At other times, he was more worried about his own personal comfort than the mercy of God being shown. And you know, that showed a deeper issue that was really about his self-interest. I think we, church, need to take a hard look often. Am I more about my own self-interest, or am I about the mercy and glory of God? And, you know, it doesn't take long. Just start to think about your interactions at work or at home or at school. Think about the ways how you can or have not displayed God's mercy. Take some time to pray over relationships you have and ask God to reveal in you, God, am I not showing mercy to these people? Take time to show and say, God, am I only self-interested in the things that you can do in me? And you know, most of the time, when you start to just look at our actions and our reactions, it answers itself pretty quick. And, you know, I don't have a lot of, like, step one, step two application like we have in some of the other ones, but I do, church, want to encourage you to take some time this week and to go home and just sit, Lord, do I do well with where I'm at? Do I do well to be upset about the things that I'm upset about? God, do I do well with how I treat other people? Do I do well to be angry at the people I'm angry at? And God, if I'm not, and more often than not, we end up like Jonah, our response is to do the exact opposite of Jonah. Jonah fled from the presence of God. We need to run to the presence of God. Jonah never actually repented before God. We need to repent on our knees and sit in sackcloth and ashes and say, God, I'm sorry, help me do better. Jonah took off the authority of God off his shoulders. We need to put it right back on. God, I need to do this. I know that you are gracious and merciful, God, and you are slow to anger and quick to steadfast love. And God, that needs to be me. And run into the presence of God. I'll tell you what, if we take Jonah, and as a church, we start to ask these questions and regularly, weekly, daily, ask these questions of our own soul. You want to talk about a church that's going to be on fire for the mercy of God. Because we're regularly putting ourselves before the example of Jesus and seeing the lack of our own because we see ourselves in Jonah. So this week, I want to encourage you, go home and take time and just read through the whole book of Jonah, start to finish. It's not that much. It doesn't take that long. And just ask God, God, show me how I'm like Jonah. Show me where I mess up. Show me where I miss out on your mercy. But then instead of doing what Jonah does, run into the arms of God. So Noah's going to come back up and we're going to sing one more song. But I would just encourage you, even as we're leaving today, even as we're closing in this song, you know, if there's people in your mind that you are already thinking of, man, I'm struggling showing them mercy. I'm struggling reaching. I would encourage you, even as you leave today, make that your first phone call. Make that your first letter. Make that your first text message. And just start running into the arms of God by doing the things that God has called you to do. God, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the book of Jonah. And God, we just thank you for just how different it is. And God, how it gives us a different perspective of yourself. And God, we thank you that you've put yourself on full display for us to see. God, that you have shown us your mercy time and time again. Now, God, I pray that we would be a church that does that. God, I pray that we would be a church that stops and just asks the question, God, just as you were prying into Jonah's life. Jonah, do you do well? Lord, I pray that you would, or that we would let you do that in our own life. Jesse, do you do well? Vertical Church of Milwaukee, do you do well? And God, that the outcome of your mercy in our life would be your glory and not our own self-interest. God, we pray that the outworkings of your mercy would to see people saved and to see relationships restored. God, to see a continually growing church because the gospel is being proclaimed. And so, God, we pray that we would run to you. God, that we would run to your mercy. And then, God, that we would show it and that we would be putting you on full display.